For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back to the Believe in Vanderbilt Football Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, presented by BetOnline.ag. In the Music City, I'm Matt Perkins, joined, as always, by Commodore and NFL veteran Ryan Seymour. Ryan, great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, Matt. Today, we're accompanied by two other Vanderbilt legends, Bruno Reagan and Andre Howell. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
No. Yeah. Call me a legend and don't put me on the 21st century team. I see you trying to butter me up, Ryan. Get out of here, dog.
Listen, man, we got the two deepest position groups right here. We got the offensive line and we got the DBs. So, you know, it's a tough list to crack.
I thought Ryan and me were homies. I don't care. I never made it to NFL training camp. I should have been on that list. All right,
Matt. I think Matt made the list, and I just signed off on it.
You tweaked it, my friend. You had.
Are you saying I was on your list?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying Bruno was my first choice.
There we go.
It's good stuff. Listen, it was hard. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that we are indeed presented by betonline.ag, your number one choice for online sports betting. BetOnline football season is back. I mean, Vandy's back. Everyone is back now. And BetOnline is the number one place to go to do your favorite gridiron props, odds, and contests. Get the latest news on all of those and get in on online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, both of which are open now at BetOnline. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. They match your initial initial deposit on the website. So take advantage of the opening day super promo. Make a bet on the opening week of the NFL, Thursday, September 9th, between the Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. If you lose, your wager is refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get into it. We're going to start with Andre. Today a little bit because
Andre's
going
to be the star of the show today.
Yeah,
so, hope you're ready, Andre. We got a lot of questions.
We got a lot of questions for you.
I'm out of here.
I'm ready. Bruno, come back.
Bruno, we still love you, Bruno. But Andre, so first of all, you came out of Port Allen, Louisiana. We have some Louisiana recruits, but not a ton. So what drew you to Vanderbilt in the first place?
To be honest, man, I really don't know, man. I think just the environment when I went up there, when I first went up there, like I fell in love with the environment. Like I fell in love with the guys, everybody was cool. Like everybody like kind of shake my hand. Everybody was like dapping me up. It was a fun environment. And the guys were real cool. And the coach was real cool too. the old coach. Damn, I think what's his name?
Bobby Johnson.
Bobby Johnson really sold me, man. He really was talking to me. He was really touching me when he was talking to me, and he really made me want to come there. He was one of the greatest guys I've ever been in my life, and I think he was one of the main reasons why I really committed there and wanted to go there.
Yeah, Coach Johnson was an amazing recruiter. He was an awesome guy. I know exactly what you mean, Andre. You know, sometimes when people ask me, you know, why'd you commit to Vandy? You know, I always give them the kind of cliche, like, oh, because of the academics. But sometimes you get that. Sometimes you just kind of know, like, where the good fit is. And it sounds like when you came to Vandy, you just kind of had that feeling in your heart, like, this is where I got to be. And obviously, there's a lot of things in Nashville that you know, could persuade someone to want to come to school there. I mean, obviously Vanderbilt is an amazing city. You got the academics at Vandy, you know, there's a lot of really cool things, obviously why we all know you went to Vandy, but that makes sense to me.
Exactly.
Bruno, what made you go to Vandy?
Bro, Franklin sold a dream.
He sold the dream.
I was a part of the Finesta generation. Like, we'd, you know how there's like all this overt marketing, maybe some guru lifestyle, culture, and social media. Franklin was 5 years ahead of everybody else. So I got sold the dream, and I was sold, man.
Dude, we are so blessed. Obviously, the guys that we have on the show today, I mean, we were so blessed that we got an opportunity to play with Coach Franklin. Now, Bruno, actually, did you get 1 year with Franklin?
Nah. Him booting or leaving was the only reason I even got a spot. So he like took half the recruiting class with him. And then Mason was like, I got fine guys. So I finally got my offer then.
Man, well, me and Andre had the blessing to be able to play under Coach Franklin. And man, it was awesome. I got to say, and I can't wait to see, you know, obviously we had a 5-year stint with Coach Mason. I'm interested to see, you know, a fresh program, a fresh offense and defense. You know, I can't wait to see the new scheme. I can't wait to see guys, you know, how they're attacking the ball. And I can't wait to see the product for on Saturday. So, you know, I know Vanderbilt fans have been waiting a long time, the last 5 years, I think, for some change, because obviously Coach Franklin left the program at the highest it's ever been. Andre, I think your last season was it Coach Franklin's last season, your last season?
I think it was Coach Franklin's last season, 2014.
So we'll be really interested to see, you know, what we what comes from Saturday. I know a lot of people have big expectations, but Andre, so I know Matt asked you a little bit about why, you know, what made you choose Vandy. Do you have a particular memory, I guess, when you were at school that, you know, you always, I guess, what's your like fondest memory at Vandy? Was it just the guys? Was it like something you did outside of football? Was it a particular game or interception or something? Like, what's like your fondest memory at Vandy?
Oh man, I think my fondest memory is when we played Tennessee and I had two interceptions. That was a great game.
One.
That was a real fun game. That was a real fun game. And just being with my guys, man. Like Kenny Ladd, one of my best friends. He like I'm known forever. Like he's one of my best friends ever. So Carl Butler. Those kind of guys, they really helped me kind of develop myself into who I am today. And we just really helped each other like develop. Like throughout our freshman year, we really like just pushed each other to get better. So I think just being with the guys, man, I think they really helped me. Like just love Vanderbilt, man. Like those guys really helped me kind of like develop and be a better player and like be a better person too. So I really appreciate those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think my closest friends are probably guys I met in college. You know, obviously when you go to school and you're going through the same 5 a.m. workouts, you're going through the same training camp, you know, you're with the same guys your whole 4 years or 5 years, you know, obviously those are going to be your closest friends the rest of your life. But I've got a lot of fond memories as well with Carl and with Kenny. And those are awesome dudes, man. Awesome. Yeah, dudes.
Sure.
So Andre, so, you know, you talked about Kenny. You guys had some pretty dang talented DBs during your time. I mean, you talked about Kenny, you had Casey, you had a bunch of these dudes who were all SEC D-backs. What do you think it was about either the D-backs you had? Was it the coaching? What made you guys be such a strong unit in general?
You know what? Man, I can't really put anything on it, but I think it's just the guys themselves. Like we really push each other. Like when I came to Vanderbilt, Casey was like the man, like the guy. He really took me on his wing, really taught me how to do things. And I think they really helped all of DB. I did the same thing with Paris Head when he came in to Vanderbilt. Like I took him under my wing and turned McGaffin. Like I did the same thing like Casey did for me. So I just brought it back down. So I think that's a guy who do at Vanderbilt. We just help each other out and help each other get better.
So the leadership, it sounds like Vanderbilt has a history of leaders in the DB room. Like, yeah, definitely. You know, those guys that you mentioned, I know Casey used to look up to Myron Lewis. He was the guy when Casey came in. And then it sounds like when Casey was a senior, you know, it looks like you were looking up to Casey and then you passed down that knowledge to guys after you. And then we got Joe Juwan. So Vanderbilt has a history of putting out really, really good DBs. And it kind of makes sense. It sounds like there's always been this kind of legacy in that DB room where guys have just looked up to the veterans for help and to basically take what they've learned, you know, apply it on the field and then pass it down to the younger guys below them. So that's really awesome to hear that basically, you know, it sounds like the camaraderie between the DBs has been a really, really close one. And it has to be a lot of the reasons why there's been a lot of success in that room.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a reason.
Yeah.
So another thing that I want to ask about, you know, you talk about those DBs. You had some pretty good linebackers also playing in front of you as well. But what were I want to switch, though, to talking about you as a returner. Were you a returner in high school as well? Because one of my lasting impressions of you was that return against Georgia that you housed when you were a sophomore. Were you always a returner? And like in high school and stuff like that. And is that another thing that you sort of like prided yourself on as well, being able to be, you know, dynamic in the return game?
Yeah, definitely. I returned kicks and punts in high school. I was pretty good at it. I returned one game in high school, I had three touchdowns. I returned two kick returns for a touchdown. I turned one punt return for a touchdown. That's when I really start thinking like, yeah, I can really do this. I can really do this now. So now I went to Vanderbilt and they put me back there. So, I returned one against Georgia, and I really felt good after that. And then I had a couple good returns against Armand, and a couple good returns against Wake Forest, and I had a couple good returns, and I was pretty good at it.
And so then also, my other question for you, like in practice, you went up against some pretty good receivers, I'm sure. Definitely. Most notably Jordan Matthews, but you had a bunch, like Jonathan Krause was a super talented receiver as well.
Chris Boyd was amazing. Yeah.
So what did... Did that help you prep for games by going up against those guys in practice every day? And what was it that was the toughest thing for you, you know, to cover those guys? And then following up on that, who was the toughest guy for you to cover when you play in the SEC?
Oh, hell yeah, man. You know, Jordan Matthews, he was a beast in college, man. Like, he just had so much energy, man. He just played with so much energy that you had to match the energy. If you didn't match the energy, he was going to beat you every time. So he really boost me up and made me a better player, too. And John Lacrosse too, he more laid back, he more quiet, but he still had a good personality with him too. He really went hard too. And Chris Boyd was one of the best too. I went against two, especially jump ball. Chris Boyd was a beast with jump ball, so you had to really go up with him. Well, yeah, back to Jordan, man. Jordan really, he really made me a better player just by how, the way he played. He played so hard, played so tough that he made me want to be like him. So just playing Jordan Matthews really made me a better player, man. I really appreciate him for that.
Yeah, Jordan will go down as one of the top guys in Vanderbilt history because, like you said, Andre, he like his level of like energy that he used to bring to practice day in and day out in the weight room, in meetings, on the field, like his excitement and energy was contagious. And if you weren't be able to match his excitement, you were just going to get embarrassed. I mean, if you were having a bad day or if you were feeling sorry for yourself, you know. Well, one, he was going to be a good teammate and try to pick you up. But two, at the same time, if you were going against him, if you were lined up, he was going to make you look pretty bad. So, exactly. Yeah, we always give it really good props to Jordan and those guys. And I know Chris, like you said, the jump ball. I always think Chris is a super highly underrated guy who kind of gets overlooked sometimes. But I think he was an amazing ball player who had some of the best catches in Vandy history. The one against NC State in the bowl game, his one against Tennessee. I mean, I could go on and on. He had some of the most ridiculous, like, OBJ catches I've ever seen in my life. But I could definitely see, again, when you look at the roster of receivers that, you know, within the last, like, 10 years that Vandy's had, maybe there is a good reason why the DB room is just as good, because it sounds like that level of competition between the DBs and receivers has been there and will continue to put out great products that go and be really successful in the next level in the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, I know obviously you spent 5 years with Houston, 5 seasons, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're still living in Houston, you said.
Yep, Houston home.
So
now.
What was your experience like in the NFL? Was there how did you adapt? Were there things at Vanderbilt that prepped you when you got to Houston? Do you think really allowed you to have a lot of success early in your career?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, just going to Vanderbilt really taught me how to be a professional, just professional. Like,
yeah, I always try to tell people that. I'm like, what was the first thing that you had to kind of, understand when you got to the league? And I always tell everybody, it's like learning how to be a pro. And I've always like kind of struggled, like explain that to people. But I always hear the guys say, what's the first thing you learn when you come to the NFL? And like you just said, it's like learning how to be a pro. Like, what are some of those things that, like, what do you mean by I had to learn how to be a pro?
Well, at Vanderbilt, like just coming into Vanderbilt, like, first of all, school is tough. You know, school is tough. So mm-hmm. I had to really give my mind for like going to football practice and going to school. Like, really have the better manage the two. And the same thing in the NFL. Like, you got to manage your life now. Like, you got football practice. You got life too. So you got to be able to manage both of them. And Vanderbilt really taught me how to do that. And I think that's really
and people aren't stuff. There. And people aren't going to hold your hand either. I think that was a big thing I said is like, you know, when you got to the NFL, you're competing against, the guys in the room, you may be close to those guys, but you're competing against those guys. And so no one's there that's going to hold your hand, really. No one's going to, like, try to help you succeed. I mean, they are. They're giving you the tools, obviously, the techniques and fundamentals. But no one is really there to kind of help you further your individual career. It's there for the team. But as far as your individual career, there's not people there that are really willing to help you. And I think that was a big thing I had to learn quickly is that, like, you're going to be the one that's going to determine your own success in the NFL. That's going to be the person you see in the mirror, Right. So I definitely can attest to that statement.
Yeah, exactly right.
But time management, obviously being, holding personable accountability, those are all big things I think I know I struggled with and had to kind of grow up really quickly when I first got to Seattle. But who was, who were some of the guys that you had a good relationship when you were in Houston? Do you have any like really good friends that you made while you were there?
Yeah, definitely. John and Joe, he I think he played 15 years in the NFL, so he was a real old head. So he pretty much knew everything. And I really got under him real quick and really tried to learn from him, because he was a real good guy. He was a real good player too. And like I say, real good guy, real caring, real like, dedicated to the game. And like, I really learned from him how to be a pro. Just learn from him and like watching him prepare for the game, watching him prepare for practice, like just doing stuff like that really helped me kind of develop myself too.
That's all. Yeah, I'm sure it was really good to have, those veteran mentors. Did you have like a welcome to the NFL moment when you were either on the field or just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here covering, Megatron or Larry Fitzgerald or Julio or whatever it is. Did you have like one of those? Was there like a moment where like it really all of a sudden like hit you?
Yeah, definitely. We were playing because my first couple of games, I didn't play as much. I played special team all the time. So I didn't get on the field that much. But then we had a couple DBs go down. So I had to play. So it was against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I was going against Jeremy Maclin. He ran a post route. He beat me. And I was like, damn. I was on the whole time. He still caught the ball. I was like, God damn. So that was one of my big moments, like my welcome to NFL moment. Cause I was like, man, I'm really the only guy. He still caught the ball. So that was one of my biggest NFL moments for sure.
Dude, I could just picture that moment. But that is like, that is a great painted picture, man. That's awesome. Bruno, your bed's not made back there. I'm sitting here looking at you.
Dude, that bed hasn't been made in a month. All right. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Listen, you know what I'm about. All right. I don't want to hear it or get parented by you, Ryan.
Oh, I'm in the doghouse because, for people who are listening, we did a top. What was it like? What did you call it, Matt? It was
all 21st century all team. 21st.
He doesn't even know what the list is called. 21st
century. I was thinking all century, but I don't know why I kept thinking all century. The all
Well, effectively, is all century. It's just this century.
Right. But Bruno and I had some, you know, had some exchange of words before we started the show today. He's a little upset that he didn't make Matt's list. So,
I'm not saying I deserve to be on there. Either. I'm just saying I know you guys.
So
I know you guys. So you should have just put.
I want to get into this. I want to hear. Okay, Bruno, your opinion. I want to hear Andre's opinion.
Okay, so I just want to say one thing. And everyone's like, "Oh, why didn't I make the list? Why didn't I make?" Okay, my question is always, "Who are you taking off?"
Right.
Who are you taking off the list?
Anybody.
Anybody.
Any other old lineman should go. So especially Justin School.
Justin didn't make it.
No. Oh, he didn't? Then this list sucks.
Justin didn't make
this
it.
This is the worst list on the planet.
We didn't have to see when we made the list, there wasn't like a top 10 guys. Matt sent me like four or five guys in each position. Some had like six, some had like two, like the running backs had three, or the backfield had three. And we didn't have like a top 10 guys. Like certainly you would have made the top 10 O-line.
That's what I saw. Justin was on the honorable mention.
Yeah. Honorable mention. Yeah, okay. Let's start. We'll go back to the O-line in a second. Let's start with the DBs though. Cause the DB has actually been the biggest controversy on this. We want to talk to you about this first.
People were heated.
Matt,
but like Matt's saying, who are you taking off?
So here's the thing. So let's go over really quickly who we had. So we just had straight four DBs. We went with, you know, we did four defensive linemen, four linebackers, and four DBs. And so our four defensive backs, we had Casey Hayward. We had Myron Lewis, we had DJ Moore, and we had you.
Mm-hmm.
Which I felt pretty good about that. I felt pretty good about that.
I did too. When Matt sent me that list, I was like, "Yeah, this is perfect." I don't know why we're gonna get back. Yeah.
You know, it was tough to leave off Juwan. It was tough to leave off Kenny. It was tough to leave off Javon. It was tough. You know, there are a lot of dudes.
The list goes on.
Tough. Yeah. The list goes on. My thing is always, who are you kicking out? In your opinion, Andre, who are
and
the
we're
top?
Also talking about Vanderbilt. We're not talking about what they did in the league.
No, we're talking about time at Vandy.
You know, legends of Vandy, because, you know, some of the guys that were wanted to be on the list, you know, maybe had better NFL careers or maybe didn't have as many years in at Vandy. I think Joe Juwan had 3 years at Vandy.
But really only 1 year as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, like, when we were looking at true Vanderbilt legends, well, that's kind of like where my head was like, all right, who had the biggest impact? Who are the names that I remember the most? Who, like, out of the four that we picked, I felt confident about that four, but we had a ton of backlash, especially from former DBs too. Casey was a big one. I know I had a lot of beef on Twitter. Joe Juwan was piping in there. You know, it's like, I don't know. Who would you take off? Andre, what do you think about?
What do you think about that list? Who would you take?
I think the list was great. Like, it really, really put out some of the best players that I ever played DB at Vanderbilt. I remember when I was getting recruited for Vandy and they were talking about DJ Moore. I was like, man, who is this guy? Like, he played offense too. Like, he's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, man, this dude is a beast. Then I finally met Myron Lewis. I'm like, man, this dude is huge. He played cornerback. What the hell?
He was crazy.
Then I met Casey. Casey's probably one of the best DBs I ever met in my life. Casey, so he's so smooth, man. He was like a real smooth guy, and he really taught me a lot too. And then it was just like, man, that's like one of the best lists ever. I know it's hard to make too.
Andre, we liked you because of some of your big plays that you made in big time situations.
Yeah,
I mean. You know, I don't know your stats off the top of my head. I know you had quite a few interceptions, and I know you made some huge plays against the ball, pass breakups, things like that. And I just think that your tenure at Vandy was better than I think. I don't even want to throw out names because these guys are going to get heated. But like some of the other guys that wanted to be on the list, I don't know. I just looked at you and I thought that your name definitely deserved deserved to be in that top category.
So here's what I will say two things. A, I've got the stats up in front of me. Okay, first of all, you played every game every single year. You played in every game every single year, and that is rare. right? That is absolutely rare. You played 50 games in your Vanderbilt career. That's amongst the most of anyone in history of the school. And I think, and you started for, would you start for 3 years, right? You started.
Well, I started for 2 years for sure. My third year, I kind of came in towards like the middle of the season.
Yeah. And so you finished your career with, 133 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for a loss, 6 picks. And you returned those picks on average for 22 yards.
And that was a big thing. Not just for the interceptions, but they were like, you got a lot of yards on those interceptions.
On top of that, about 1,350 kick return yards. And obviously the big kick return touchdown against Georgia, which I remember so well, like I mentioned before. And I think for me, that's what set it sort of apart. Plus you had some all SEC nods. And so obviously, you know, what you guys, like we talked about, you guys pushed yourself, you know, going up and having that great competition with the other DBs, go against the other wide receivers. Is there anyone else that we're missing on that list? Or who did you think was the best guy that you played with during your time? Was it Casey? Because you guys overlapped for a couple of years, right?
Yeah, Casey was one of the best guys I played with, but I think Kenny Lattler should have kind of got a pump up. Kenny was a great player, man. Kenny made all the tackles. He did everything right. He knew defense like he knew anything. Like, he knew defense like so well. And he was just like one of the best leaders on the field. Like, he was one of the best players on the field. So I really think Kenny should have got a little nod.
Was Kenny on the honorable mention, Matt?
Kenny, Javon, and Javon were the honorable mentions. Yeah.
So what do you like? I mean, I know you didn't necessarily cross paths with Myron or DJ. I remember DJ when I was a freshman. He was a senior when it was my freshman year. I mean, he ended up having a ridiculous game against Kentucky to take us to the bowl game to play Boston College. I mean, he was Mr. Vanderbilt when I was a freshman and he was a senior. This guy was – like you said, he was on every part of the field. He was on offense. Yeah. He was on defense, special teams. This guy did everything. He was the face of the program. And that's why I had to – when I thought to myself, well, DJ is going to be an obvious choice for me, especially if we're talking about the all-century list. For, you know, I was like, this guy – he may not have had the – like, he may not have had the tenure in the NFL. Like, I know he's with the Bears for a little bit and a few of the teams, but, like – He may not have had a super long NFL career, but this guy at Vandy was unstoppable. I mean, he was the go-to guy. I just remember him being the most pumped up dude. When I was a young guy, I was like, oh my God, this dude is a freak. I mean, he could jump. He wasn't super big, you know, not like Myron, but he could freaking jump. It was unbelievable. His stats, his like weight room stats, like we kept like, I don't know, like during the wintertime, you had like these, like everyone competed against like bench and jump and 40 and all this stuff. I mean, his numbers were like so much higher than anyone else in the DB class during that time. It was like ridiculous how above he was anyone else that was at Vandy at that time. And so I'll always remember him. And then Myron Lewis, again, he was the freaking guy. Like when I was, I think sophomore, he was just behind DJ. He was the Mr. Go-to. I just always think about him, and I know he's older and a lot of people maybe not know his game as well that well, but I think he was an amazing player. So him, DJ, and then you and Casey, I don't know. Again, we got a lot of backlash, but I don't think you could take any of those guys off the list and replace them with anybody else.
Casey wanted Rashad Langford on the list.
Rashad Langford?
Yeah.
I mean, he's good too.
He's good too. But you talk about physical freaks. Bruno, who was the biggest physical freak you played with?
And on the team?
Yeah.
So if any alumni that played with me listen to this, they'll scoff at my answer, but then they'll understand it. It was this young guy named Darren D. Broussard. Just an absolute freak of nature. Never saw the field. And it was, I don't mind saying it, it was deserved he didn't see the field. He just didn't, he never earned it. But the kid came in as a freshman. It was like benching like 400 something pounds, just a freak of nature. Then he like starved himself, lost a ton of weight, lost a ton of strength. And I only say that because he ran, we were playing Alabama A&M, and we're trying to, this kid went from D-line to tight end to O-line. I mean, they're trying to get him to learn one play. They're like, do anything. And we get him in tight end set. and we're just like, just step right and block. He was lined up to the left. I remember first ever play, he runs out, and the guys on Alabama and them, we're like, where the did you guys find this guy? Like, he was a freak looking guy, and he deserves the nod. And he was a freak. He was a freak personality wise too. Dude is a freak all around. Arian, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well.
Dre, same question to you. Who's the biggest physical freak you played with, and why?
Big physical freak. Probably Caleb Azubuike. That dude built up like a goddamn machine. Yeah,
Greek god.
Bodybuilder. Built, man.
Yes.
I think he was like 2 years younger than me, but he came in like, we was like, who is this guy? Like, can he play? And it was like, man, put him on the field. Like, he need to be on the field. God damn.
I have to absolutely agree with that. Caleb Azubuike was like sneaky monster. Like, he kind of wore baggy clothes, but like, dude, when he had his freaking shirt off, or when he was in shoulder pads and his arms were sticking out of his sleeves, it was like, holy crap, dude, this dude's huge. He's like 6'3", like 250, like straight muscle.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a freaking freak.
Were there any, when you got to the league, were there any guys who were just like, I can't believe like this guy's body looks like that?
Probably JJ Watt was a freak. He was huge, man. He was huge. He left so much. It was crazy how much he worked. He worked out so much, and it was crazy how much he had. Like, he just was in the gym all the time. So I think probably JJ Watt for sure.
JJ's an interesting dude, because like, from afar, like, I will say that like, his personality seems like a little bit like fake. But then all the stories I hear about him are just like, no, that's just kind of how JJ is.
Yeah, that's kind of how he is for sure.
So, all right, before we get into talking about this weekend and this in these games,
oh, wait, we didn't hear Andre's thoughts on the running back situation.
Okay,
this was another big one.
Well, I just have a quick ad read I have to do as well.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
So, we have a new sponsor here on the podcast. It is PlayActionPools.com. They've partnered with us to bring some interactive fun to our favorite sport. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everybody. Here's how it works. You're going to go in and sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We'll be choosing between 10 of the highest profile games of the week between NFL and college. Whoever gets the most picks correct every week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. So head over to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest Believe, that's B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you want to host your own football-style contest, head over to PlayActionPools.com today. They've got Survivor Pick'em, as well as some cool sportsbook-style concepts called Build Your Bankroll. That's PlayActionPools.com, your home for all your office sports pools. Let's talk about those running backs. This is the other place we've been getting a lot of pushback.
Yes.
So you played, yeah. Now, did you, now, Andre, did you, you overlapped with
Webb?
Did you overlap with Webb and with Zach Stacy?
I did. What was young when I was there, though? He was young.
So, okay. So Ryan and I said we want Zach, obviously, because I think Zach is pretty clearly the best running back the program has ever seen.
Sure.
I don't think that's really going out on a limb. But then the question becomes Ralph or Keyshawn Vaughn?
Oh, Bruno, Bruno, you got anything off that? You got anything on that?
Keyshawn Vaughn was the most impressive player I've ever played with in college football. That dude was a freak of nature. So if you say Zach's better, that makes me raise my eyebrows. Keyshawn was our offense, and yeah. I loved Kyle. But when Keyshawn got hurt at Florida, just right down the drain. We were up 21-3, and everyone was like, "Damn."
Did you cross paths with Webb too, Bruno? Was he there when you were like a freshman?
I was there when Webb broke the two 2 to 3 years I played with Webb, but we broke the record in Neyland for him, and me and Justin carried him off. And then we had my last year we had Keyshawn.
See, I broke the record when Zach was there, and we carried carried Zach off the field.
At which stadium? Home?
Yeah, at the home
stadium. Yeah, that's cool. We had
I think it was against Auburn, maybe.
We had to do it at Neyland. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Zach loved playing against Auburn because that's the school he wanted to go to, but they didn't offer him a scholarship.
That's like all of our stories. None of us. Yeah.
Dre, did you have a school that you wanted to go to that didn't offer you a scholarship? Did you want to go to LSU or something like that? Did you want to stay home?
I kind of didn't want to go to LSU, but I wanted an offer though. Like just having an offer would have made me feel good. I always wanted to go to Vanderbilt, man. Even from the beginning, like even I think I started recruiting my sophomore year, my junior year, and that's when I really wanted to start going there. But I did want LSU offer just to say I had LSU offer, but they didn't offer me.
So okay, so. Out of the three, out of Zach, Ralph, and Keyshawn, pick two.
Oh man, for sure I'm going with Zach for sure. That's my guy. And man, that's tough between Keyshawn and Ralph, man. Ralph was a beast too, man. But Keyshawn, like you said, Keyshawn was he'll definitely
some of the. I mean, maybe if you didn't miss it last week, Andre, but we talked about. We talked about some of those, you know, we talked about if we were in a game time situation, the game was on the line, third and one, like who are you going to go with? And I know Matt, I know Ralph had, what was it? His average per carry was like
4.4.
And then Keyshawn's
4.5. And then Keyshawn's was 6.4.
6.4. And so that is a huge difference. I mean, we're talking about two yards, especially at running back, 4.5 versus six. I mean, they did. But Ralph, again, he's the leading rusher in Vanderbilt history.
Ralph could also pass block like a mug, man. Like he was really? Back there. He was an iron wall. There's a funny clip I sent after Kansas State. I was watching film and I just see this white mayonnaise looking Kansas linebacker try to hurdle Ralph to sack Kyle. And Ralph grabs his leg, stops in midair and just like WWE slams him to the mat. And Ralph, if you go back on Ralph's Twitter, he posted, I think I still have the video on my phone, so I can send it to you guys if you want. It was, that was hype. So I sent it to him. He put it on and it went viral. I was like, that was one of the most hype things. So Ralph was like, he did everything, right? I don't know if Keyshawn could pass block like that, but if you're talking about handing the ball off, you know, you already know my answer.
So Andre, who was the toughest dude for you to tackle on Vandy? And then who was the toughest dude for you to tackle on another SEC team?
Okay. On Vandy, probably Zach for sure. But on a SEC team, Todd Gurley. He was a beast in college, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, Todd Gurley was a man child. Like he is like 6'3", like 230, 235, and yet could outrun everybody. He was, you know, he's another one of those guys who was an absolute physical specimen. All right, if he's the toughest guy to tackle, who is the toughest guy to cover in the SEC?
Man, let me see. For sure, Jordan Matthews, for sure. That's my boy. And who else? Who was pretty good? I'm trying to think of the guys I went against. I can't really think of the guys I went against.
More memorable, I guess, man. You're just too good. They weren't memorable.
I can't really remember none of the guys right now, man. All the guys I think about is Jordan Matthews.
Bruno, who gave you the biggest, like, what was one of the toughest guys you went up against during your stint at Vandy?
Probably Caleb Brantley, and that's a name that sort of died fast because he was projected to be first, second round guy, but he got in some legal trouble and it dropped him all the way to the sixth and he was out before you know it. But I was young in my career and he was like the first guy where I was like, wow, this guy's insane. And after that, I would play against insane guys, but I think it was a mix of different things where I was getting better. And they were also playing Vandy, so they didn't try as hard. Like the Montrevious Adams, you know, didn't impress me. But I'm sure if it was the SEC championship effort, he was one of those guys who effort not all the time, you know. And there a lot of them were like that. Honestly, they were up by 30 points, and they were just like Terry Beckner. They'd be up by like 30 points and just be cruising or whatever. So, I'd probably say Caleb Brantley for sure.
Interesting. Ryan, what about you, Ryan? I'm curious as to what about you? Like, who could you not block?
This is a name y'all probably didn't think I was going to throw out there because this wasn't even an SEC guy.
Hold on. Let me try and guess it real quick. Who did you guys play? What is
Cincinnati. This is
I knew. Is it the note? No, it's not.
Derek Wolf.
Okay. Okay.
Derek Wolfe played, he's had a long NFL career with Denver. And then also, God, I forget who he was with Denver. But, God, he's been in the league like almost 10 years now, probably over 10 years, because he came out a year before me, if he's still playing. Man, this guy, I had totally underrated this guy going into the game. I'm like, man, we're playing SEC ball. This is my junior year. We're going against the toughest competition week in, week out. We played Bama that year. I was going up against Jesse Williams. Like, I don't know who this Derek Wolfe guy is, but he's not going to be that big of a problem.
He brought his A game because
let me tell you something. It was first round draft pick. I didn't know idea. I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. You know, not giving any credit to any guys outside of the SEC. Dude, this guy was like 6'5", like 285 pounds, and he was all muscle. Every single play would lock me out, read the running back, and shed me. I could do nothing. I could do nothing the whole time. Larry Smith was in at quarterback. I was like, dude, it's going to be a long game.
I've never heard of anybody told their quarterback, you're in for it. No, I can't do anything.
Unbelievable, man. It was unbelievable to push back this guy. I mean, he just was in a four-point stance and was lining up and just going through me every single play, and there was nothing I can do. Even if I reached the guy, he was backdooring it and freaking hawking guys down for a TFL. It was like, I couldn't believe how good this guy was, and I totally underrated him the whole week. We're in Memphis. We're like spending time with the other teams. You're doing like, you know, you're doing all you can eat contests. You're like hanging out with the guys and stuff, like down on Beale Street. And I'm like talking to this dude. I'm like, I got this white guy. I'm like, I got this. No. He ate my freaking lunch that day. So it was not even close. It was not even close. I struggled with him the most out of anyone I've ever played in the SEC by far. And, and I don't know, Matt, like you said, Bruno, sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe like I remember playing USC like Clowney. I feel like those guys weren't even trying because it was like versus Vandy. And maybe like Derek Wolfe, this is a bowl game and he was just giving his best efforts. To your point, I feel like a lot of times we play these SEC schools, and especially like the Bamas or the Georgias or, you know, at the time like USC, where it's like, I feel like I wasn't getting the guy in front of me's best effort.
Yeah, I mean, either that or we were just better than we thought.
I don't know.
Because the names just never – like, it was – like, names that pop up. Montrevious Adams, already said him. Caleb Brantley. I mean, I played against Deron Payne.
Montez Sweat.
Who else? I don't think I played against Sweat. That was my first start ever, was that Texas A&M game. So, I don't know.
So
who else from there? Yeah, but, you know, those names pop off, and none of them really are, like – like your story, I can believe that. Only reason I was, because I think Spencer Pulley and Jelks were talking about the story where I think Spencer was playing center before I got there, and you guys played a small team, like maybe UMass or something, and Spencer just came off the field. He was like, I can't block the, like they had a 210 like nose guard, and Spencer's like, I can't block him. So yep. I thought you were talking about the same guy.
No, I had a really good game against UMass. They run an odd front, so I was playing guard, so like I was pretty much just helping the center.
Were chilling.
On 3-4s. I'm chilling because I'm literally posting the shade and with my eyes on my backer or the end. So, I remember UMass, but yeah, he was running a head up nose, and I think he was just working Spence the whole game. you know, we don't have too much time. I definitely want to spend a few minutes talking about, you know, Bruno and Andre, your guys' expectations of Coach Lee and going into this new season. Obviously, you know, Vanderbilt steps away from Mason at the end of last year. We've had a whole off season with Coach Lee. I've seen really, really good things. I've only been to a couple practices. I watched the spring game. I know me, Bruno, and Matt, obviously we watched closely the offensive line. Andre, have you had a chance to follow any of Vanderbilt's DBs, or have you had a chance to follow the program, I guess, you know, specifically, I guess, this past year under Coach Lee?
Not as much as I want to. I met Coach Lee. He came to Houston. They had like a Vanderbilt like
get together. I saw that. Yeah,
they had a Vanderbilt group in Houston. I met Coach Lee, and he seemed like a very, very good guy, very good coach. And he brought a lot of energy too, so I'm very excited about that.
Really?
I think the guy really would like Coach Lee. I feel like he's a really good coach too. He was just like a real cool guy, man. I really appreciate meeting him.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna find out Saturday. I know we're playing Eastern Tennessee, and I know obviously a lot of people are expecting that to be a win, but I think we're also expecting his fans for Vanderbilt to leave, kind of put a stamp on Eastern Tennessee. Like this is the new Vanderbilt. And obviously we've seen the new helmets, the new uniforms. Obviously we're trying to take the old brand and make it a new brand. And I think that was a really good thing. I think that was what Franklin did a really good job of, was changing the culture. I know it's kind of cliche, but he was changing the culture of Vanderbilt, of being a losing program to being a winning program, and getting the guys to believe that and buy in. You know, obviously none of us on this podcast are in the meeting rooms with Coach Lee, so we're not really exactly sure what the message is, but we've seen a little bit just from highlights on YouTube and on Twitter and things like that. And I've seen really positive things. I did watch the Vanderbilt spring game on my on demand a few days ago, and I watched the offensive line. Bruno, I didn't see the greatest. The greatest offensive line in Vanderbilt history when I watched that game. And I know, obviously, you know, you're mixing it up. You had the white and black team, and I know you're kind of mixing some of the ones. I don't know how they were doing that, but I saw the starting lineup got tweeted yesterday, and I was looking. I think the left guard and the center have zero reps.
And Ben Cox, I think he's playing. Yeah, left guard. So left guard, Ben Cox, center, Michael Warden, walk on, about 6'1". If he was being drawn and quartered, and they had the horses like pulling him, he would be 6'1", like at his max, like stretched out. So that's as tall as the guy gets. He's your starting center.
Yeah, I'm surprised he beat out Kevo Wesley.
Yeah, you're telling me, man. So I went to like every single spring practice that I was allowed to go to, and the offensive line looked promising. I was really huge on Kevo. I was also high on Julian Hernandez. I was like, dang, these guys got potential, man. These guys got potential. But, you know, for one reason or another, we get to the fall. And I've had a crazy schedule because I've had, you know, obviously I'm doing the club and the radio thing. So I was disconnected from Vanderbilt a little bit before I got back into the swing. And my editor was telling me, he was like, man, the offensive line is in trouble. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, just go watch the practice. Michael Warden starting at center. Kevo is out there practicing. And I'm like, Warden beat out Kevo, which Warden's one of, you know, bias alert, his Warden's a good friend of mine. So part of me is like, and it sucks because you're a journalist, you're supposed to be like, whatever, it's my friend. So I'm like, I'm proud of him, especially being a walk-on and beating him out. But also there's the same part of me that's like, Kevo Wesley looks like a pouncy brother. How does he get beat out? But the first practice, you know, I mean, and it was right off the beginning too, so I'm allowed to report this. Just can't land a snap. He just can't snap the ball on step. It was crazy. They were like, watch this. He's going to, you know, mess up snaps. He messes up snaps. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the most important thing you have to do is snap the ball. They can't have it. So Kevo's got to get over, I guess, that young mental block. I mean, man, if it was me, and I hate doing that to people, but if it was me, I'm snapping the football in the shower while I'm FaceTiming my girl, while I'm taking the dog out for a walk, I'm snapping the football if it means I'm going to play the game, right? So that's something Kiva's got to figure out. And the left guard spot has been just, you know, they've tried putting Julian there. They've tried putting Bryce Bailey in there. They've tried putting Dan Dawkins in there. I don't think I saw Ben Cox start a single time at practice, but he's going to start this week. You know, they're trying to figure it out, man. Let's talk about some of the good, though. Cole Clemens, he's going to be a solid guy that gets the job done, and he's the overall leader of that unit. Tyler Steen, that's a guy where he came in, and a bunch of people were like, this dude's got NFL potential. And I think he's starting to finally get over some of the mental hurdles young players have. And I think he, you know, he was one of those guys that had trouble adjusting to the college experience and, quote-unquote, being a pro, because there is a level of that in college, just not at the NFL level.
Come on, Cole Clemens.
Yeah, Cole Clemens is going to be one of the leaders.
I like Cole. Yeah, he's got the look for the left tackle. I mean, he's got the frame. He's got the height. And he played a lot last year.
Yeah, he's played a lot in his career, so he's gonna be the anchor and he's gonna be the leader. Ashmore and Steen are gonna be great. I think Steen has the highest ceiling of all the players on the team right now, but that also sucks because you know it's Steen. Like NFL wise, Steen has the highest potential. And then after that, you know, it's really they really don't have that much. You know, talent wise, it's gonna be a grinder group.
But yeah, it feels like the left side of the offensive line is just gonna be way better than the right side of the offensive line. Because
it,
like,
yeah, it is.
Bradley Ashmore, I don't know a whole lot about him. He's a little skinny, I think. He's a little skinny.
He's also got
Ryan's favorite major that he's ever seen.
Which one is that?
Gender and sexuality studies.
Yo, I took some of those classes while they were at Vanderbilt, and they were some of the most entertaining classes I ever took.
I'm sure entertaining.
Yeah, they were entertaining, man. They were very entertaining. I can't even lie. Cannot lie.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched I watched the tape on demand, and I saw some pretty disheartening things. I saw some good things, but I saw a lot of guys kind of burying their heads into blocks, falling off, getting shed really easy by the D-line, not working up to the second level like they should. Again, that goes into burying your head into combination blocks, not seeing where your linebacker is either coming over and having to break off of a combo block, or just, you know, the running backs cutting it back and just being a linebacker right there when the tackle, like on a backside cutoff, could have easily picked this dude up. Little things like that, not selling the run on play action. I see guys.
Ooh, that's the worst. That's effort.
Kind of taking plays off on play action. You know, again, I know it's a scrimmage. I don't really know if we're going to see a huge difference on game day, but we had two false start penalties back to back early in the game down there in the red zone, which is just going to be a killer. You know, a couple bad snaps, just looked really sloppy, to be honest. So that was, you know, that was a little concerning. I wish Andre had gotten a chance to kind of to see that game as well, so we could hear his thoughts on some of the defense. We're off
considering the defense got torched. Well, I played football enough to
good.
The defense. I talked the defense up on our little message board the whole spring, and every practice was closed except for the spring game. So I'm talking the defense. I'm like, they're playing really well. Spring game happens, they get torched for like 8 touchdowns total.
Yeah, Wright was taking them off, man. Wright had
He just destroyed them. So everyone was like, Bruno doesn't know what he's talking about, which they might be right, but this is a story for another day. And now the defense looks like it's picked up their mojo again. It just felt like with Mason's defense toward the end of the tenure, it looked like they were just playing. It just didn't look like humans were playing. There's that famous Bill Belichick quote, you know, after the taunting thing got called, where he's like, listen, you make a play, you need to celebrate, bring the energy, it matters. You know, that's one thing that impresses me about Lee is, first of all, they don't practice with music. That would kill me. I couldn't do that. I'd be thinking about, you know, eating or something afterwards. They have to create their own energy. So I think that's an interesting dynamic, and it might help this defense out. Cause I mean, defense, you don't have time to scheme up a lot of stuff on defense. Just get lined up and make the dang play. That's all, you know. Defense is, you know, a little bit more instinctual than offensive football is. And that's what these cats need. They just need to get some energy, go out there, trust their training, and try to stomp on someone's throat.
Well, when it comes to defense, especially look at guys who don't have a ton of experience in the defensive backfield, Andre, what are some of the things that you are either looking for when you're looking at these guys, or what are some of the pieces of advice that you would give them for these guys who are, I mean, Max Worship is back. He's got some football under his belt. Gabe Judy Lally has some football under his belt, but you know, it's still a relatively unproven group. What are some advice that you would give those guys, or what are you going to be looking for when you watch the game?
I think it's really technique. Like just back then when I was my sophomore year in college, when I watched Casey Hayward, he had the best technique ever, and that made him a great player, I think. And just having technique really helps you on the field. I think those guys really understand, like, just having a good technique will make you a better player.
Do you worry about, like, or maybe this wasn't ever in the back of your mind when you went out there on Sundays or Saturdays when you know it's third and long and you know your guys, you know, you're in coverage and you know, like, okay, this ball could be coming my way. Obviously, I'm like maybe like third and two or third and one, probably not, right? Yeah. But like third and long, you know it's coming your way. Is getting beat, like something that's in the back of your mind, or that's something you kind of don't even think about? It's just, okay, I'm focusing on the guy in front of me. Are you watching? Are you mirroring? Talk me through a little bit about what are some of your reads? Are you reading the receiver when you get lined up? Are you just thinking about, okay, I got to be at this point because my safety's coming over, or is it kind of a mixture of both? Like, what's your thought process when you get in your stance and you know, like, okay, it's third and long, it's go time?
Yeah, well, I had two different processes. Like my first year, I played cornerback, so it's different from safety. So cornerback, you really focus on the receiver. You're like, you're trying to figure out his split, how far he is from the line, like what kind of route you think he's going to run, like stuff like that. That playing cornerback, that's how you think about playing cornerback. But playing safety, you really kind of like free. You're more free of playing safety because you like further back from the line, so you're not really like in the moment right there at that point. So playing safety really taught me how to like to just focus on the quarterback, just seeing where he's going, like seeing where his intentions are. So I think playing safety is way easier than playing cornerback.
Are you reading more of the quarterback at safety?
Yeah, definitely. You read more of the quarterback for sure. And in that cornerback, you really focus on the receiver the whole time. So yeah, I think cornerback definitely was way harder.
Gotcha. Okay, cornerback was way harder. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously you're not focusing on the quarterback. You're literally just kind of mirroring and being in position. I know, obviously, yeah. It's kind of like basketball. You want to be either inside the guy or at a point to where if he does throw it, I can make a break on the ball, those kind of things. That's good because I know us offensive linemen, we have no idea what's going on. We don't work really good in space. When you create separation between the O-line and a skilled player, that's dangerous for us. So we try to eliminate the space by getting, you know, close to a guy, pulling him in, hugging him, or trying to get a backside cut off on something. But creating space is dangerous for us.
Yeah.
So Bruno, I've got a Bruno. From what you've seen, who is going to be our offensive non-quarterback and MVP, and who's going to be the defensive MVP this season? If you were to take a bet going into the year,
I think with combined workload, and put this out for me because this kid deserves recognition, if you don't mind, Chris Pierce is always the unsung hero of this offense. I was watching clips. People were tagging me in clips, boosting my ego recently about some of my old plays. And if you notice, in every single one of those plays, Chris Pierce is 30 yards down the field blocking. He's the reason these home runs are going. So not only did he finally break through with his receiving part of being a wide receiver, you know, he's the guy who's been putting in the maximum effort in the places where, you know, maybe you don't get recognition, you don't matter. And it's not like someone told him to do it. He just does it. I think where we might see Cam Johnson be the statistical leader on the wide receiver group, I think Chris Pierce is the leader. That's if there's a guy that isn't named Ken Seals that has to be the leader, it's a guy named Chris Pierce. I mean, this is a guy who's done it the right way. And if we had 11 Chris Pierces out on the field, we would be a dang good football team.
He's also huge for a receiver.
He is massive. I think he'll get a good shot in the NFL because he does those.
Like, yeah. 35.
What you're saying about him being the guy that shows up on tape 30 yards, 40 yards down the field, picking guys off, that is what gets you to the next level. And I had an O-line coach used to tell me, he goes, when you get shown up on tape, the more when coaches are watching the film and they see your number come into the film, that is a positive thing. And that's like how you are able to sustain your time in the league or sustain your time as a starter when you're in college. But I like what you're saying, Bruno, like the guy that is finishing dudes 30, 40 yards down the field or is always near the ball, mm-hmm. You know, those are the type of guys that are going to make it really, really far and be successful. And after hearing you say that, I would not have any doubt that he's going to be
look at the big plays this season. When they have a big play, look for Chris Pierce. He'll be down the field trying to make a go.
That's a really good observation. And Ryan, I think that's a really interesting piece of advice that you just got, you know, when talking about like those little things on film. Andre, did you ever have like a coach or anything that gave you any like piece of advice that really stuck with you like that?
Yeah, definitely. My coach, my sophomore year. And my coach, my junior year, trying to think of their names right now. I'm kind of bad with names. But Wesley McGriff, my DB coach, my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And I think of the guy's name. Well, those two DB coaches really put me on game. They really taught me how to play the cornerback position. They really helped me like kind of develop into a better cornerback. So yeah, definitely.
But were there like any tricks though? Was there any like pieces of advice? What like a coach told you, like if you do this, you will be successful. Like, or if you do this, you have a better chance of like extending your career in the NFL.
Just staying top down. Just, they always talk about being top down, like never getting beat deep. Just always being top down, being able to drive on the receiver, and okay. just being able to stay on top. That's one of the things they really taught us, to stay on top.
Okay. Was that George Barlow?
George Barlow, yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. I forgot his name. George Barlow, that's my guy, man. He was more of a father figure to me too. Like he really like taught me a lot of things too. Like just sitting in a meeting room, just talking to him sometimes. Just not even about football, just about life. He really helped me out with that too, definitely.
I know, Matt, we're wrapping up here soon, but I wanted to ask Andre, you've been out for 2 years now, right?
Yeah, 2 years now, yeah.
So you've been out for 2 years. What have you been up to since your time with the Texans?
Yeah, well, once I retired, I got into real estate real quick, and I sold my first house. I sold a house to one of the guys I kind of know. He played for my Miami Dolphins. He bought a house in Houston. He played for the Dolphins, and I helped him buy his house. So that felt good.
Oh yeah.
But then I kind of just fell off from it. Like I didn't really do anything else. I didn't do anything else because real estate is a good thing. Like it was cool, but I didn't really like it as much as I thought I liked it. So I kind of backed off of it.
A lot of hard work, man. People think just getting your real estate license means you're just going to be selling houses every day.
Nah, it's not like that at all. But then I figured out I'll go back to school. So I'm getting my MBA now. I just feel like I had to do something. I was just bored, man. I had to do something and kind of like get my mind going again.
Oh yeah.
I was really just sitting at home just chilling basically. So I need to do something. I need to kind of get smarter at least. So I got back in school trying to get smarter, trying to learn stuff and just trying to get better, trying to improve myself so I can be better in life. So that's why I went to school, just trying to get better in life. And that's what I'm doing now, just getting better in life, man. Just trying to learn as much as I can and trying to just level up, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. Whenever you wake up and don't have like a purpose or whenever you don't have goals. So I know you said after you got through with real estate, you know, there was kind of like a lull there where you weren't really sure, you know, what your focus was going to be on, but obviously you're involved in your MBA program now and going back to school, but you have a purpose. Like, I know a lot of guys struggle with that when you get done playing. You spent your whole life with your eggs in one basket. You know, your whole focus, your whole life has been football. Exactly. And then once the game is over, where is all that passion going to, what is it going to go into next? And obviously everyone that plays the sport of football has, you know, a lot of passion and just kind of focusing on that and figuring out what you're going to do next is always a struggle for a lot of guys. But, you know, going back to school is never a bad thing, obviously being educated and it gives you time to figure out what you like and what you don't like. And figuring out what you don't like, maybe real estate, you thought it was something you're gonna like, is just as important as knowing what you do love and, you know, things that you don't like. So that's really, really great to hear that, you know, that you're back in school and you got a purpose again and you're kind of just figuring things out as you go.
Yep.
I know.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. And I don't want, I never got Bruno your defensive MVP for the year.
Davion Davis.
That's who I was gonna say.
Davion Davis, dude's a hype machine. He would relentlessly piss me off if I played against him, and that's why I like him. That's why I like the guy. Iron sharpens iron, man.
Defensive tackle, and he's just like he's disruptive, man. Like, he's disruptive. Like I felt like he just gets in the backfield at will. It feels like, and if it's not gonna be him, I feel like it might be one of those linebackers, whether it's Orji or Wusu, someone like that. So. But yeah, I know, we're running short on time here. So I want to say thank you to both Bruno and Andre for hanging out with us today. You can find Bruno's work over at vandysports.com. Where else can the people find you, Bruno?
So yeah, if you want my Vanderbilt coverage, vandysports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all my socials at Bruno Reagan. I also host a radio show in Nashville Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. The afternoon stretch on WNSR. You can download the app, listen to us there. We cover a multitude of topics, including a lot of Vanderbilt football throughout the season.
Yeah, you haven't had us on yet. So
I texted Ryan. He was like, oh, I moved back to Georgia. I'm like, oh, okay. I guess I'll just talk later, I guess.
I'm still here.
You're in Nashville? You're in Nashville?
Yeah, oh, cool. I live in Bellevue, man. Like,
oh, okay, sweet. Yeah, we'll work on that. No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we don't even, it's one of those things where we're, you know, we're trying to find ourselves doing it too. Cause we got thrown into the position, like kind of crazy. It was just crazy how the position opened up. I mean, it was, you know, COVID. So position yeah. opened up and then some things fell through and they were like, you guys want to do it? And we were like, yeah, we were pitching for it, but we're young, you know, didn't have a lot of experience. So we were just trying to find ourselves in the first few months.
Andre, how about you? Where can people find you?
Just on Instagram, really. JerryHowe29. Just follow me on Instagram.
I got you. Well, I know these last few podcasts, these last few weeks, we've been trying to get profiles. I mean, Andre, we appreciate you coming on. It's going to be game week this week. We're going to have a lot to talk about. Finally, we're going to actually be able to see a product on the field. We're going to be able to do game breakdowns, position breakdowns, you know, other teams that are coming up. So we're going to have a lot more to talk about as the season progresses. I know obviously these last few weeks, we've just been really, really excited to get some content out there and get everyone's kind of juices going. And it was a pleasure to have you on the show today. I know obviously fans wanted to hear more about you and your story, and we really, really appreciate you coming on today. We're going to ask you to come back on maybe during the season so we definitely can get some film breakdown on the DB, maybe some of the receivers that we're going up against. And, yeah, man. Well, wanted to thank you so much again, and you as well, Bruno, as always, for coming on the show, man.
Yeah,
Ryan.
Bruno's our number one. Bruno is the guest with the most appearances, so.
Because you guys know I'm going to always make it.
It's because we love you, Bruno.
We don't have anybody. Let's just call Bruno.
Exactly. I'm like the fat chick you call back.
So, oh god,
I know Matt probably doesn't like it, but
I love it. Are you kidding me?
I'll say stuff like that on the radio, and my co-host is like, "Oh, we're gonna get in trouble." I'm like, "No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're good. All right, gentlemen. Until next time, anchor down.
Anchor down.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you for having me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.